that we must live a life every day of conquering, of being more than, living that more than life, being more than conquerors. To be honest with you, when I look around in different churches and Christians and the church as a whole, not us, but I'm talking about the church as a whole, I see a defeated church. Do y'all? Kanye West gets saved, and that's the biggest thing that Christians can talk about. How many rap artists are there out there? You know, if Kanye West is the Christian news hot topic, we're losing. We're not doing enough. And nothing bad about Kanye West. I mean, you know, I'm proud for him. But you know what I'm saying is, if that's our hot topic subject as Christians, we're not very hot. We're a cold church. We're not getting the things done that we need to be to get done. We need to do more. We need to live more than. We need to live a more than life. Last Sunday we talked about Peter, who was a lowly fisherman named Simon, look there. There's a girl walking down the aisle. I hadn't seen her walk in a while. Hey, Isabella. Amen. That's wonderful to see. How long ago was that? A month? Six? Huh? 2 months ago. Okay. Yeah, 2 months ago she had both of her legs and her ankle broken. She was in a wheelchair. Now she's walking down the aisle. Amen. That's just great stuff. Good stuff. That's more than a wheelchair. But anyway, we talked about Peter, who was called Simon. Simon meaning reed, easily shaken by the wind. And then as he progressed in Christ, he became Peter the Rock. Jesus changed the man's name because there was that big of a transition in his life. And then after that, he went on to become the leader of the New Testament church. This guy that didn't have much of a life walked over in and became the leader of the New Testament church. That's a more than example right there. That's what we talked about last week. But now we want to take that and get a kind of a plan to be more than in our lives. You know, it's just, man, here we go. Let me ask you this. What if you ate cold cuts your entire life? Bologna, salami, pastrami, pickle loaf. Your night out, your date night would be Subway or Jimmy John's or somewhere, you know. But that's all you've eaten all your life, okay? And then, Paul comes by and he says, man, I want to introduce you to something you've never had before. It's called mashed potatoes and gravy. No, I'm not eating mashed potatoes and gravy. Well, I got chicken fried steak to go with. No, I'm not eating any meat that's not processed. I'll never eat any meat. I'm not going to eat hot food. But eventually you get them to try just a bite of mashed potatoes and gravy. You finally take a bite and say, oh my gosh, that's wonderful. That tastes good. That's pretty good stuff.
I do like green eggs.
Yeah, I will. You know? I'll say, all right, now, I want to take you out to eat. We're going to Subway? No. We're going to go to Superior Steakhouse. And I'm going to get you a big old bone-in filet. Oh, no. Now, the mashed potatoes was good, but it wasn't a cow. I can't eat any cow that's not processed. I'm trying to take you into the mindset of a group of people. I'm not going to do it, but I get you over there, and I cut into that thing and say, here, just take one bite. Just one bite. It won't kill you. Just try it one time, and then I'll never bother you again. And they eat it. They take a bite, and go, oh, my God. I've never tasted anything that good in my life. I said, I know. It's just good stuff. I said, you know, now I want to take you and let you eat some fish. What kind of fish you talking about? Catfish. Ain't no way I'm eating them catfish. No way. There's parts of the United States that will not eat catfish. Y'all know that? And so those are nastiest. They're bottom feeders. And I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. You know, and this happened to me. It really happened to me. When I was in the Navy, I was in Washington, D.C., and we were right there on the Potomac River. And when you're on duty, you didn't do it. I mean, when you're on call, you didn't do anything. You just had to be there. One of those wonderful things about the military I miss so little. And so I said, I told a couple friends, I said, I'm going to get me a rod and reel. I'm going to fish. They need us. We're right here. And they said, well, we are too. That sounds like fun. Man, when I rigged up my rod and reel, they looked at me like I was a total moron. First, because I got a big weight and I stuck it. I put my hook, I put a treble hook about that far up, and then my weight was way down here. Well, what are you doing that for? And I'm trying to catch some catfish. Why would you want to catch one of them? Because I'm going to eat them. Oh my God. You know, caught a couple good catfish, and so they said, you got to throw those back in there. You can't eat those. Those things will kill you. I said, oh, my God. What's wrong with you people? You know? And I said, I'll tell you what. Come to my house tonight. It wasn't a house. It was an apartment. I said, and just try it. One bite. And so, if you've never cleaned catfish with pliers, you don't know how much hard work it is. Catfish skinners are a must. But I couldn't find, there's that, in 1983, there's absolutely, there was this many catfish skinners in Washington, D.C. Couldn't find them anywhere. I finally had to call my dad and say, I need you to get my tackle box and get some catfish skinners and send them to me. And he did. And, but when they tasted that fish, and I mean, they didn't want to, seriously. I mean, but I got my hot sauce and my mustard, and I mixed up in there, man. I got some yellow cornmeal, and that grease was popping. Put it out there. I'm not going to go first. It's like that stupid commercial Huggies. I'm not going to pick it up. You pick it up. I'm not going to pick it up. You know? And finally, they picked it up, and they tasted it. And I didn't get to eat any of it. I was the catcher, the cleaner, and the cooker, not the eater. They said, we got to do this more. I mean, they were eating catfish all the time. They had been exposed to what they said was wrong. See, that's what we've got in the New Testament church today. We've got a bunch of people that are eating processed meat of the word. It's not the original. They're just getting parts here and there, here and there, here and there. They're not getting the the full strength of the word because the guy that's standing in this position is not telling it to them. And on their part, they're not getting into the word and finding out from themselves. It was good enough for my grandpa and my grandma. It's good enough for me. Well, get rid of your air conditioner. They didn't have one of them either. Now you're driving around a car with an air conditioner in it. You ought to go to hell for that. That they don't get it. They don't get that the same gospel works in every culture, in every point in time. It works the same way. You just have to have a different way to reach people. It's all we have to have. But if we're going to live the more than life, we've got to get a hold of people that, you know, I mean, think about it. We're chewed on the meat of the word. I mean, we're eating mashed potatoes and gravy and chicken fried steaks. They're over there eating Vienna sausage and crackers and liking it because they've never had anything better. How many of y'all ever had grouper? That is one good fish. They are nasty looking. But they are good. There's so many things. There's so many things in our lives that we run across that may not seem to look good, but they taste great. How many of y'all like Mexican food? Well, it's the same thing, just rearranged. In Mexican restaurants, that's what it is. It's just the same thing, just rearranged in a different place. Right? What do you got? You got taco meat. You got tomatoes, you got flour tortillas, corn tortillas, you know. Those are your major two choices right there, corn or flour. But everything's rearranged. Taco Bell, it's the same thing. Everything's the same. And Corey is convinced that McDonald's and Taco Bell put laxatives in their food. Aren't you? Yeah, he's like, thank you. Yes, they do. You know. But what my point is, I'm going to get there, is we have to, if we're going to live the more than life, we've got to be able to step out there on the water a little bit like Peter. We've got to take the word for what it says and not as a story. People think the Bible is a story sometimes. It's not a story. It is fact. It's what happens and what's going to happen. Are you with me? If we're going to live the more than life, we have to be what the Bible says that we are. We have to be more than conquerors. We've got to do it on a consistent basis. And this is a very easy message to preach. It's a very short message. But it's important. First thing we need to do is, we'll get in trouble when I do this, but that's okay. I'll move to this side, outer range of ginger. We have to be right without being obnoxious. You got to know that you're right and then not be obnoxious about it. When you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and you're speaking in tongues and things like that, you're right, but you can't be obnoxious and go try to jam it down somebody's throat. And when somebody says something to you about it, just show a little grace and back away and move on. Don't be obnoxious. There was a cowboy. There was a cowboy, and he was on an airplane. He was going to go look at some cows. He was going looking at buying. And an atheist sat next to him. And this atheist, you know, tried to spark up a conversation. Cowboy didn't really want to talk to him. But anyway, the atheist said, well, you know, I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God. What do you believe? Do you believe in God? And the atheist slowly turned to him and said, let me ask you a question. He said, you got an 800-acre field out there. You got cows grazing in that field. You got horses grazing in that field. And you got deer grazing in that field. He said, they're all eating the same grass. But what goes in one end has to come out the other end. Now, a deer expels pellets. A cow, eating the same grass, expels a flat patty. And a horse expels like a horse biscuit. Look, what we call horse biscuits. You know, they're big. He said, does that make any sense at all? Can you explain that to me? He said, well, no. He said, well, since you don't know crap, I ain't going to talk to you about God. That's an example of don't be obnoxious. Sorry. Couldn't help myself. We don't have to agree with everybody. But we don't argue with them either. Ginger's got the best attitude I've ever known. She can work with anybody. She said, hey, do you believe in the death, burial, and resurrection? Yeah, we're good. The rest of it, we can get around. Jessica, same way. We have all different churches coming together and working at the food pantry. Why? Because we're willing to work with people that want to help people. We're encouragers. We want them to be a part of something bigger than themselves. They don't have to be a part of what we believe, but we have a common ground that we believe in that people need to be helped, and we're here to help them, and we can come together on that. That's being right without being obnoxious. You know, there's some... touch on what we talked about a little bit Wednesday night. Michael just asked me about it. You know, there's some churches that don't believe in the Trinity. But if you ask them, and I have, well, do you believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost? Oh, absolutely. But that's not the Trinity. I said, what is it? It's the Godhead. I said, same thing. Yeah, absolutely. We're 100% in agreement. Because the word Trinity is not in the Bible. But the Godhead is. The Trinity is a word that we created. The Bible calls it the Godhead. You're saying the same thing. You're saying you believe differently, but you actually do believe the same thing. There's some denominations that say once saved, always saved, and then there's other that say believe you can lose your salvation. And you know, an example would be that if one of these once saved, always saved, if somebody just totally went off their rocker, I mean, just left their wife. Hookers, cocaine, you know, the whole bit, you know, just whatever, you know, and they died. Well, I would ask them, well, what in the world? Is that guy in heaven? Well, that guy wouldn't have done that if he'd actually been saved. Oh, so we're really saying the same thing. You see, there's a lot of things that people disagree on, but if you are right, and you know that you're right because the Bible backs you, and you know that you're right, you don't have to be obnoxious. You can get along and go along, because a lot of the stuff you think you disagree on, you're right on the money with what they believe. Now, there's some, of course, that, like those crazies up in Oklahoma, you know, Westboro, what are they called? Yeah. Yeah, the Baptist hate that they attach Baptist to their name, Westboro Baptist Church. I don't think I could find any common ground with them, because they are a religion-based, hate-based organization, not a love relationship organization. Big difference in religion and relationship. They're the total opposites. I'm not going to go there again today. Y'all heard that so much. Y'all. There was a cowboy. Got on a plane. Oh my goodness. There's some denominations that believe if you speak in tongues, you're going to hell. And there's other denominations that believe that if you don't speak in tongues, you're going to hell. You can't find common ground there, so just don't talk to them about it. I used to be obnoxious with it. Somebody said, you believe in speaking in tongues? Yeah, you want to hear me? End of conversation. They're gone. You know, if we want to get things done and get over into that more than life, we got to have more people to be encouraging to, not to be obnoxious to. We have, I'm not even going to say that, but why can't we just all get along? You know, I forget who said that. I think it was Rodney King. Who was it? I don't know. Why can't we all just get along? It was Rodney King, all right. Yeah. He took a whipping and man, that was awful. That was an awful situation. In other words, let's not major on minors in the kingdom of God. Death, burial, resurrection. We good. We can get together and we can get elbow to elbow next door and we can get something done. We can get out there and simply serve and we can have people from all different denominations and everything else. And they can get in there and work. It doesn't take getting your doctorate to drive a nail. You don't have to have your doctorate to get out there and work, to mow somebody's grass. You're together, laboring together with someone, with Jesus. We labor together, amen? So, I had a guy call me this week and didn't recognize a number. Maybe it's somebody in the church I'll call. I'm not sure. Hello? This is blah, blah, blah. Insert any name there as long as it's not yours. And he said, I said, yeah? Because I had no idea who it was. I didn't recognize the name. No, didn't know. He said, well, I owe you an apology. I need you to forgive me. I said, you're forgiven. And he said, well, you don't know what it's about. I said, it doesn't matter. Whatever you wronged me with, I forgave you a long, long time ago. I don't have to wait for you to ask for it for me to give it. That's what a lot of people don't understand about forgiveness. You got to give it regardless. Whether they ask for it or not. Whether they're still on and on and on and on, you're still forgiven, 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 forgiven. Anyhow, then this guy starts telling me he's having these crazy visions and dreams and stuff, and I'm going, I've got to get off the phone with this guy. That was just what I was thinking, you know. And so I said, who gave you my number? You know, and he told me, and it was a guy I hunt with, and so I called the guy and said, who is this guy? And he told me, and I remembered him. It took a while, though, didn't it? It took a while, but I asked the guy, I said, what did you slander me about? He said, man, when you first started the church, he said, man, I talked so bad about you. He said, I told all kind of lies about you. I said, well, man, join the crowd. There was a bunch of people doing that. So it's not a big deal. Don't worry about it. I forgave everybody that was a part of that. It's not an issue. I said, very small rearview mirror, really big windshield. That's the one you need to work on. Don't ever worry about me again. It's all good. It's all good. But I could have went on and said, well, I don't know what you said. You'd have made it more personal. And then it would have dug at you and dug at you and dug at you. And so I just decided to do the blanket forgiveness. Whatever you did, it's forgiven. Because that's what Jesus did. God forgave us of our sins because Jesus covered all of our sin with his blood without any penalty to us. So why should we deal with forgiveness any different? We can't. We've got to deal with that way. Oh, man, let me go to the next one. This is not as short as I thought it was. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Let's just stop there and we can sit here for 6 months. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So is it possible to please God with prayer?
No.
Nope. Thank you, Joel. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is God. He has the power to forgive sins. He has the power to do anything. You have to believe that He is God. A lot of people can't get past that point. They say, well, I don't understand. There was never a beginning and I don't understand it. You don't have to. Just believe that He's God. And that He is a rewarder. This is talking about the more than life. You can get rewarded. You can get rewarded if you what? Diligently seek Him. If you diligently, if you say, you know what? I'm going to seek God. I'm going to get in His Word and I'm going to seek Him. And I'm going to ask Him about all of these doctrinal issues. I promise you, He'll give you the answer and He will reward you. The Bible promises it. Hebrews 11:6 promises that if you dig into the Word, He's going to reward you. He's going to give you the right answer. He's going to give you the way. He's going to give you the truth. And He's going to give you the life. He's going to give you everything you need to succeed in this life. He's going to teach you. He's going to show you how to be right in your money, to be right in your family, not just to be healed, but walk in divine health. He's going to talk. He's going to, if you just stay in your Word, you diligently seek Him, He will reward you. The Bible promises He is a rewarder. I'm not going to go any further on that one. Uh-huh. Save some time. Bam! Mm-hmm. Number three. Live generously. Did I give you that scripture in the Passion Translation? Yeah. This is in the Passion Translation. I just want to, this is a 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter, 1st through the 7th verse. It says, beloved ones, we must tell you about the grace God poured out from the churches of Macedonia. How many of y'all know how the church of Macedonia started? Through a vision. Holy Spirit stopped the Apostle Paul from going to Asia and said, come to Macedonia. And he went in there, him and Silas, and they started praying. The prison doors, chains fell off, doors flew open. From that one instance, that's when the churches at Macedonia started, because of that one thing. One miracle changed an entire region. For even during a season of severe difficulty and tremendous suffering, they became even more filled with joy. In other words, their circumstance didn't change their attitude. From the depths of their extreme poverty, superabundant joy overflowed into an act of extravagant generosity. For I can verify that they spontaneously gave, not according to their means, but far beyond what they could afford. They actually begged us for the privilege of sharing in this ministry of giving to God's holy people who were living in poverty. The people who were extremely poor giving to the extremely poor. Looking at their needs greater than our needs. They exceeded our expectations by first dedicating themselves fully to the Lord and then to us. Before you know, you have to dedicate yourself to the Lord and then come in with us and do what we're doing. If the first doesn't work, the second never will. If you're not fully dedicated to the Lord, you're not going to fit in here. It it's just not going to happen. That is why we appeal to Titus, since he was the one who got you started and encouraged you to give, so he could he could help you complete this generous undertaking on your behalf. 7. You do well and excel in every respect. This was because they were generous in their giving. Listen. An unstoppable faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. In unstoppable faith, in powerful preaching, in revelation knowledge, in your passionate devotion, and in sharing the love, we have shown to you. So make sure that you also excel in grace-filled generosity. The biggest lie that's ever been told to the church, you're going to hear this the first time, and you go, what? I've heard that before. Here. Well, I give God his 10%, and the other 90% is mine. Right? Well, let's look at Malachi 3:8 real quick. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me, but you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. See, that other 90%, if you don't live generously with that, first of all, I get to preach about money because I don't know what goes on with the money. So, I don't know if you're a giver or if you're not. I prefer to think of every single face that I see as givers. I have faith for that. So, I don't give an offering every Sunday. But a lot of them I do. And a lot of offerings I give outside the church that people don't even know about. Sometimes I give an offering in the Brookshire's checkout line. Somebody needs a hand. You know, when they start pulling groceries back, I said, no, I got that. That's an offering. There's a lot of ways that you can give offerings. You can give to the food pantry. You can give to Simply Serve. You can give to, there's a whole list of stuff on our envelopes. But that's not the only thing. And living generously is not just about your money. God wants you to be generous in our time. In your time, you be generous. I mean, I could start naming names, but they're here way more than 10% of their 40-hour work week every week. They give generously of their time. And it doesn't necessarily have to be given here, but it does need to be given into the kingdom. Because that's where you sow. That's where you sow. You sow your time, your talents. These people up on stage, they sow. They're here at 8 o'clock every Sunday. They have practice on Sunday afternoons a lot of times. They have to get together. They got these stupid group texts that, you know, and they've got, Stephen has to get everything ready, and then he's got to get it on down. And you know, it takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of time to be in children's church. You miss a lot of time here. But it's an offering of what you're giving into the kingdom. Kenny coming up here and planting peas, man. Poisoning the grass in the parking lot. And, you know, I mean, I could go on and on and on and on and on. But you are generous people. But I need more generous people. Not just for... that little thing's loud. I don't know if you heard it on Facebook Live, but that, she burping that baby, and she let a big one. Wow. But most of all, we need to be generous in grace. The most important thing that we need to be generous in is grace. Anybody that has done something wrong, show grace. Show grace. Show grace. Show grace. If you're generous in grace, great grace will be shown to you. How will it do that? It's the same way that the money is, pressed down, shaken together, running over. It'll be back, the measure you give, it'll be given back to you. Grace is the most powerful tool that we have in the army of God. If you want to live a more than life, you've got to have more than grace. You've got to be in it. And last, Ecclesiastes. I've tried to remember. You know, Ecclesiastes means the preacher, but I never preach out of Ecclesiastes. I can honestly, I think, I don't ever remember quoting a scripture out of Ecclesiastes. I can't even say it. Ecclesiastes. Here it is. But Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, or wisdom in the grave where you're going. In other words, you're not here for long, but whatever you find your hand to do, you do it with everything that you've got. It's just like a football game. Give me 60 minutes of the best that you possibly have. That's what every football coach tells a team before they go out on the field. Give me 60 minutes of everything that you have. That's what the scripture said. God's telling you, you're only here for a time and then you're going to be in the grave. You know, I built your body for a purpose. So whatever you find to do, whatever you're called to do, give it everything you've got. Give it all you have. Do it with all your might. It doesn't matter what it is. Do it the best that it's ever been done. If it's picking up trash, you be a trash picking up fool. You hear me? You know, when I first got saved, man, I did everything as hard as I could, as good as I could, because I had screwed up so much in my life, and I wanted it to be. Whatever I did, I wanted to do it with excellence because I was so unexcellent before I got saved. Not excellent was not even part of my vocabulary at that time. I mean, I would change baby diapers and burp babies like we did a while ago. And you know, it didn't matter what there was to do. If there was something to do, I put my hand to it and I did it as best I possibly could. And why should I stop now? Why should you stop now? Let me tell you what. You are in an excellent church with excellent people, with excellent leadership. God felt that we were so excellent that He gave us this building. Because He knew we would do something with it. What I want you to do is whatever you do, do it right. Do it as good as you possibly can. Amen? Stand up. I told you it was short. Woo! Live generously. Be right without being obnoxious. And whatever you do, do it as good as you possibly can.